This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Women's Leadership Podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by an amazing person and leader, someone who's triple board certified, someone who now holds two core roles at Rush University Medical Center. She's both an assistant professor as well as in charge of media relations for the Rush Oncology and Cancer Center. On top of that, she's sort of triple board certified in internal medicine, hematology, and oncology, and spends a lot of her focus in the combined world of gastroenterology and oncology. Dr. Jane, can I ask you to take a moment and introduce yourself? Then I want to talk about some of the endeavors that you're engaged in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Scott, for having me on. I'm really excited to be on this podcast with you. So you covered most of what I do. So I am a clinician where I see patients who have GI oncology problems. So that would be anything from colon cancer to neuroendocrine cancer to pancreatic cancers. And a variety of other malignancies. I'm also the physician director of media relations for the Cancer Center, as you mentioned. So I do a lot with our media department and our marketing department and kind of the branding of Rush as we're building a brand new cancer center. And then I'm also working on creating a gender equity program and a women advancement for women in leadership and women in healthcare at Rush. So gender equity is another part of my job role. So I have three hats that I kind of wear here at Rush, and I try to balance them as well as I can.
I can only imagine. Let me start with one of the things that you're famous for is starting a Women in Medicine conference and sort of organizing and founding that. Tell us a little bit about that and how you got motivated to do that.
Sure. So last year, one of my ideas that I had was I'd attended a lot of conferences for women in leadership, and I'd talked to a lot of people, and I was hearing a lot of people having the same problems where they felt like their voice wasn't being heard, or they felt like they were being passed up for opportunities, or they felt like they didn't know how to negotiate for themselves, so they didn't know how to better develop these leadership skills that they thought would get them to the next level. And so I proposed a conference when I was on faculty at Northwestern for a Women in Medicine symposium. And the purpose of that symposium was to educate and for women physicians and women in healthcare to come and learn how to do a lot of things that we aren't really taught in school. So that was a very successful conference. And my co-chair, who is a surgeon at Northwestern, she and I decided that we wanted to make this a national event because it was so well received in the first year. And so what she and I have done is we've created a national CME, or Continuing Medical Education Summit, and the Women in Medicine Summit is co-sponsored by multiple academic institutions in the Chicagoland area. It is not only an educational conference, it's also a conference where women in healthcare can come and learn these different skills. So we want to send women home with action items and ways that they can improve not only their own careers and their own professional development, but also improve things on a regional and national level and work towards gender parity and gender equity. So we have a lot of breakout sessions based on things that vary from negotiating for yourself or advocating for yourself, empowering yourself, becoming a better speaker. So we have speaker training. We also have some leadership training. We also have breakout sessions focused on imposter syndrome or the imposter phenomenon. And the woman who's actually speaking and leading that session is the founder of imposter phenomenon, Dr. Clance. So we really wanted to create a place where women could come and not only learn about the problems that exist with gender equity in healthcare, but also go home feeling empowered and feeling like they could make the changes at their own institutions or in their national organizations, or just in their own lives.
And tell me a little bit more. Is there? I had heard some number of the amount of women doctors that will be at the program this year. Can you just give me some insight into how many and how it's grown so quickly?
Yeah, so we're anticipating between 450 to 500 women with the numbers that we have so far. That's the capacity. So we're anticipated to sell out. The conference last year was incredibly well attended, and we didn't really have a marketing budget. So it was mainly word of mouth, and social media is how we spread the word. So we realized that there was such a need for this type of symposium, summit, conference event that we realized that we really had the opportunity to do something amazing and impact a lot of women physicians at the same time. And we've had a lot of people registering already. Our early bird registration is closing June 30th. And after that, the prices increase slightly. And we've had a lot of women already register. So we're right on track for selling out this year.
Well, congratulations. And tell us, you've got a new role that's been created, sort of in charge of gender equity at Rush. And Rush, for people that aren't familiar, everybody should be familiar, is always a top 10, top 30 U.S. News and World Report hospital. It's one of the great academic medical centers in our country. It's got one of the top 5 to 10 ranked orthopedic programs in the country. So a magnificent institution. How did you end up in charge of gender equity there, and what's the intent of that program?
So one of the really unique things about Rush, and one of the reasons I came here, is there is a lot of transparency and there's a lot of discussion about internal and external issues that exist in healthcare and how we can improve them. And so when I came over to Rush, I already had this Women in Medicine Summit kind of started, and they were extremely supportive. Leadership here was very supportive and basically told me that they thought it was a great idea and they would support me in whatever way I needed. As this summit started to formulate, or as the plan for the summit started to kind of come together, we realized that there was an even bigger need for research in gender parity, because there are quite a few papers coming out recently, but it's still a pretty underrepresented field in academia. And in order for us as scientists and physicians to really believe that there's a problem, we need to see the data. So I presented that to the institution, and they were also very supportive of this because they agree that it is a problem at a national level, and they want to help move the needle, and they want to help make a change. And the way you do that is you start with research. So we're planning a research program here focused around gender equity. And on a grander scheme, we're actually planning on building out a center to help women advance their careers. There'll be several different components to the center where we focus on research, we focus on mentorship, we focus on wellness, and we focus on advocacy. So by focusing on all of those things, we're really making a more well-rounded plan as to how we can change the problem, how we can fix the problem and change the system at a local level. So in any issues that may exist at our institution that we might not even realize are there, and then use that to make changes on a national level. And because our leadership is very open-minded and very involved in healthcare at a national level, and they understand that these problems exist, they told me that they think this is something that's important, and they want to make sure that as an institution, we are focusing on it both internally and externally.
And Dr. Jane, let me ask you a different question. You're triple board certified, which makes people like me who are double majors in college feel incredibly lazy. How did you end up in your profession? How did you end up doing what you do?
So I became an internist first. I did my internal medicine residency, and then I did a hematology and oncology fellowship. So that's how I became triple board certified. I've always been really interested in the science in oncology, and so that's how I kind of started seeing myself in that field. And then really the thing that solidified it for me were the patient experiences and the relationships that I developed with my patients. Because as an oncologist, you are very fortunate to meet a lot of people and really become an important part of their lives, and seeing them sometimes for years and having very difficult conversations with them. But these conversations sometimes help them make decisions that will really have an impact on their life and how they live the rest of their lives. So that's how I ended up in the oncology world. When it came to gender equity, I saw a lot of issues that existed as I went through my training and my schooling. And I used to think that I was the only one facing these issues because it wasn't something that people talked about very much. And then as I became more and more aware that these were issues that existed globally, I thought to myself, well, someone needs to do something about that. And there's a lot of women and men who are out there trying to make a difference, and I wanted to be one of them because I have children, and when my children are old enough to go into healthcare, if that's what they decide to do, I don't want them to face the same challenges that I had to face because of some of these disparities that exist. And there's also a lot of data that shows when there aren't women in leadership, women's health actually suffers. So they've done studies looking at when there were less women in leadership positions, women weren't involved in clinical trials, there were a lot of women who were just ruled out because there was a thought that they weren't strong enough or they were of childbearing age, so they shouldn't be included. And so a lot of the studies that we have from the past don't include women. And there seems to be a correlation between when women became more women entered the medical field and we started seeing some more women leadership, some of those numbers started to change, and that's when women started getting included in clinical trials. So I think it's not just an issue that's impacting the women who are working in healthcare. I think it's also impacting our patients. And so I want to see that change.
Oh, fantastic. Two more questions, Karen. How do you keep yourself motivated day in, day out? You strike me as someone who does not have a hard time getting out of bed and getting going each day. Is that just natural to you, or how do you keep yourself going? How do you keep yourself motivated?
So I think part of it is just my personality. I've always been someone who likes to stay busy and likes to have projects and likes to get things done. But even more than that, I'm very passionate about what I'm doing, and I think it's really important work. If you'd asked me 5 years ago if I would be doing research in the gender equity realm, I would have said you were crazy because it's not something I saw myself going into. But when I realized that there were ways, tangible ways that I could make a difference, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. My family asks me that often as well. They say, how do you do all of this when you're home and you're doing other things and, you know, you're trying to balance family and work? Why are you taking on these other responsibilities? And to me, at the end of the day, I'm really passionate about it. I don't see it as work. I don't see it as a job. I see it as something that I'm excited to do. And when I do these things and I start to see even small modifications or changes, it makes me feel very fulfilled. And so I enjoy what I'm doing and I don't feel like I'm working. So that's kind of how I keep myself motivated.
That's fantastic. And then a final question, Dr. Jane. Your big goals this year. What are your big goals this year?
So number one, I want this Women in Medicine Summit to be successful. We have nominations for awards. We have abstracts that are being submitted. So there's a lot of really cool things going on with this summit. So I'm really hoping for a successful Women in Medicine Summit. This Gender Equity and Women Career Advancement Center that I'm working on at Rush, I would like to see that also be very successful and launched in the next few months. And we're actually working on making it a national consortium. So that's something that is coming up down the pipeline. So stay tuned for that in the next few months. And I really love seeing patients. I'm working on creating a neuroendocrine program here at Rush as well, where we have a multidisciplinary clinic for our neuroendocrine cancer patients. Neuroendocrine cancer is a little bit more of a rare tumor, so patients often don't know where to go for clinical trials, or there aren't a lot of opportunities sometimes. So I'm hoping to change that and to create a program here at Rush that is going to fulfill that need for the patients in the area. And hopefully I'll be able to do that while integrating my home and family life in as well. And I'm able to make it to my kids, you know, tennis matches and acapella concerts and things as I continue to do this important work that I'm doing.
It's magnificent. So really, it's the Women in Medicine Conference. It's the Gender Equity Program. It's developing a great program specific to the neuro and I won't pronounce it correctly, but to the oncology area and your subspecialty there, in an area that's not overserved specifically, where there really is need for great help in patient navigation and figuring out clinical trials and so forth. And then finally, of course, being a great family member, mother, parent, family member, spouse, et cetera, just making sure that you're giving the kids their attention too. So, I mean, a full plate. Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's really impressive. The energy, the drive, the intelligence. It just is a great pleasure to visit with you. And I know you'll have great success at Rush. I know you joined Rush recently after many years at another magnificent institution. So I think Rush is lucky to have you join them. And I look forward to watching your success, Shikha. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Scott. I had a great time.